Okay, or at least it may be. So let's see. Let's see. Okay. So the Mishnah in Masechta Megillah says that ain over in lufnei ateva, you can't have a chazan. Ain nosin kapiyam, you don't bring kohanim. Ain koreim b'Torah, you don't read the Torah. Ain mafshirim b'avni, you don't read b'navi, you don't read the haftarah. Uberkat chatanim, and you don't do the berkat chatanim, meaning the sherev brachot, except for with a minyan. You need a minyan. You look at the Rambam. Rambam says you have to say the berkat chatanim in the house of the chatan before the nisuin, and these are the shesh brachot. Berkat chatanim is defined as what we call sheva brachot, which is six plus borei pri hagefen, and those brachot require a minyan. Now, what's the source? How do I know I need a minyan to say sheva brachot? So the Gemara Masecha Ketubot says as follows: Minayin the berkat chatanim ba'asara. How do I know that the sheva brachot require minyan? Shneamar vaykach asara nashim izikne ha'ir. Yomer Shevupo. So he took 10 people from the elders of the city. He's talking about Boaz. We just read this in Megillat Ruth. Those who read Megillat Ruth this past Shavuot, right? So he took 10 elders from the city, right? And he said to them, "Sit over here, be, you know, stand over here." That's what he said to the 10 people. So it says, so we see that he didn't need 10 people for the Erusin because you just need two witnesses. That's it. So where
you for the minyan, the Bekrat Kwanim, or the what was the other one?
No, we said to have a chazan for Tzvila B'Tzibur, Berkat Kohanim, read the Torah, read the Haftarah, and there are a few other examples in the Mishnah, but this is one of the examples is the Sheva Brachot. Sheva Brachot requires minyan. So the Gemara in Ketubah wants to know, how do I know that? So the first source is from Boaz. The Rebbe, and the fact that he gathered 10 people for the wedding with Ruth, Rabbi Abba says, "Mehacha from here, the Machilot Baruchu Elokim Hashem in Makor Yisrael." In the Machilot means in the large gatherings, in the throngs of people in large amounts. So you bless Hashem, you bless God, Hashem in Makor Yisrael, Hashem. From the Makor Yisrael, the source of Israel, the Makor Yisrael is understood to refer to the womb. So since the womb is where the child is born from, so this is a wedding. The wedding is leading to the, so to speak, the birth eventually. It's a matters related to the womb. So therefore, the Gemara derives from there that you require a minyan for Birkat Chatanim for the Sheva Brachot. Okay, so it's pretty clear from these sources that you're going to need a minyan for the Sheva Brachot, and this seems to be almost all opinions follow like this. You need a minyan for Sheva Brachot. So if you don't have a minyan, you can't say Sheva Brachot. Now, is that a problem? So let's see Masechet Kala. Masechet Kala is actually called Masechet Kala because of this line. The opening line in Masechet Kala, it's a collection of Beraitot. So Masechet Kala says as follows: Kala velo beracha asura lebala kenida. A kala without bracha, a bride without the Sheva Brachot is forbidden to her husband as if she was a nida, as if she was a menstruating woman that the husband is not allowed to have relations with. A kala who does not have Sheva Brachot is in that category. The Gemara says, Ma nida shelo tavla asura leba'ala. Just like a nida who didn't go to the mikveh yet is forbidden to her husband. Af kala below bracha asura leba'ala. So too, a kala below bracha asura leba'ala. So this is going to be a major problem. Now we run into a major issue. Because, okay, we establish you need a minyan for Sheva Brachot. But if you want to have a social distancing wedding, you very likely won't have a minyan there. So I'll tell you later what we did at the wedding I was at. But before we get to it, let's look at the development. So the Gemara, the Masechet Kala says, Kala below bracha asura leba'ala kenida. That's it, you're stuck. Right? You can't do it. So let's see. Okay. So the Gemara Ketubot says as follows: Tanu Rabbanan mevarchim echad chatanim beit chatanim. Rabbi Yehuda omer af beit ha'irusin mevarchin ota. Amar Abaye Yehuda shanu mipnei shemitiachedima. So the Gemara says you say the berachat chatanim in the house of the chatanim, meaning at the time of the chupa. Rabbi Yehuda says even at the time of irusin that you say it then too, mevarchin ota, you say it then also. Why? So Amar Abaye, you say that Erusin, it's in talking about the area of Judea, Yehuda, that area in Israel. Why? the husband and wife would seclude themselves together during the time of the even while during the Erusin. So in order to, so to speak, create some sort of a Nisuin to permit her to him, they would say the Sheva Brachot during the time of Erusin. Okay, so now, what was the purpose of saying the Sheva Brachot? So Rashi there says, Be'erusin kidei she'e libo gaspa, kidei lekaman, lefichach mevarchin berkat chatanim mitchila, etani v'sech kala kalab lo barcha asura lebala kenida. So Rashi seems to understand this Gemara that really, without Sheva Brachot, the man and woman are forbidden to each other. Maybe they'll technically be married, maybe, but they're still forbidden to each other without the Sheva Brachot. Until they said the Sheva Brachot, they finish the full Nisuin, the full marriage process, they're going to be forbidden to each other. So that's going to be a major problem. If you hold like this interpretation of the Masechet Kalah, so then you're going to have a very, very hard time convening a wedding during times of social distancing, during times of COVID. So if you look at the Gemara, the Talmud Yerushalmi, has the following statement, a very, very famous, very intriguing statement. I think we spoke about this a little bit when we were doing Shurim on Masechet Pesachim a few weeks ago. So the Talmud Yerushalmi says the following. I'm going to Rabbi Levi. Rabbi Levi says, Ha'ochal matzah be'erev Pesach keba al arusato be'beit chamiv. So Rabbi Levi says that somebody who eats matzah on Erev Pesach, he jumps the gun before he has a chance that night to eat the matzah, before it's the time for the mitzvah, he eats it before, he ruins his appetite, so to speak. So where does that compare to? Al arusato bebeit chamiv. Somebody who has relations with his arusa, who they're not fully married yet, in his father-in-law's house before they had nisun, before he brings her into his own home. Okay, and it says that he's looked at. Fine. So the Or Zeruah says something very interesting. He says, Mori Harav Meir mi Provence, Shamati, de Midame Ochel Matzah Be'erev HaPesach, Leboel Arusato. What's the comparison between eating matzah and Erev Pesach and one who has relations with his Arusa? Mishum Shetuna Sheva Brachot. So he says that just like an arusa needs sheva brachot before she is permitted, so too you only eat the matzah until you've recited seven brachot. Okay, so two separate things. One's just an aside, which is interesting, but one's the main point. Okay, so the main point that we see from this...
Rabbi Simon, question.
John, okay. Let me finish this thought, and then I'll just take your question, okay? So what we see from this Or Zeruah is that he understands, like Rashi, that Kala Belo Bracha, Asura Lebala Kanida, is meant to be taken literally. She's really forbidden. You don't say Sheva Brachot. Kala Belo Bracha literally means Sheva Brachot. And until you say the Sheva Brachot, they're still in the status of Erusin. They're still in the first part of the marriage. And they either that or it's a Nisuin without a permission for them to live together. So you're, according to this Or Zeruah, you're very stuck. This is an aside. It's very interesting. What are the seven Brachot that you recite on the night of the Seder before you eat matzah? So I was trying to do a calculation to myself. So I said, well, there's Borpia Geffen in the Kiddush, there's Rachav Kiddush, there's Shechianu, okay? And I thought maybe the Borpia Adama, you see on the Karpas, the Rachav Al-Achilat Maror, I thought maybe those were two, plus Hamotzi and Al-Achilat Matzah, right? That would be the seven. But if you look at what Rav Shechter says, so Rav Shechter says, he quotes from Rav Soloveitchik, who says that even though over the course of the entire year, the Gaon Mivilna, the Gra, would always say the Bracha of Al-Netzilat Yedayim when he was eating fruit that was dipped in water. So the halacha is, the strict halacha is, if somebody's eating fruit or vegetables that are wet, they're washed and they're still wet, somebody's supposed to wash the Netzilat Yedayim. Many Ashkenazim have the custom that they don't do it. However, Sfaradim generally do it, and some Ashkenazim do have the custom to wash Al-Netzilat Yedayim. However, nobody says the Bracha of Al-Netzilat Yedayim except for the Vilna Gaon. The Vilna Gaon would say that not only would he wash on the Tzila
Yidayim, also the Rambam. Also
and the Rambam. Correct, correct. And the Rambam, correct. But in the last few hundred years, only the Vilna Gaon, he had the custom to say the Beracha of Al Netzila Yidayim. So he quotes Rav Soloveitchik, who said that even though normally the Gaon Vilna would say the Beracha of Al Netzila Yidayim, in this case, on the night of the Seder, he would not say the Beracha of Al Netzila Yidayim when he washed for Karpas. Do you know why? Because he didn't want to add an eighth bracha before the matzah. And he took this statement of the Or Zeruah so literally, so seriously, he says there are seven brachot before the eating of the matzah, just like there are seven brachot before the husband and wife are permitted to each other. What are the seven brachot he quotes here? So I was wrong, because he says they are Bor Priya Gefen, Kiddush Shechen. I got those three right. But then he quotes Asher Ge'alanu, which is very interesting. That's the bracha at the end of the Magid section. Al-Netzilat Yidayim, Hamotzi, and Matzah, meaning Al-Achilat Matzah. So the Netzilat Yidayim, the Karpas would be the eighth. So therefore, he didn't want to say the Bracha of Al-Netzilat Yidayim. Now, this is a little bit of a hard explanation to swallow, because there are other brachot that we say, right? We say, as I mentioned, we say Bor Pri Hadam on the Karpas. The Ashkenazim say a second Bor Pri Hagefen before they drink the second cup. So there are other brachot that we say. So clearly we're only discussing the brachot that are related to the process of eating the matzah or the seder itself. So that's why we're including the three brachot of Kiddush, Asher Ge'alanu, the bracha of Al Netzilat Yidayim, Hamotzi, and Al Achilat Matzah. Those are all related to the process of the seder and the process of eating the matzah. So therefore, I don't think that, you know, to me, it's a little bit of a questionable assessment that's why the Vilna Gaon did not say Al Netzilat Yidayim at the night of the Seder. Okay? But basically, for our purposes, the Or Zeruah seems to agree that Kala below Bracha, Asura Lebala Kenida, literally means Bracha. If you don't say the Shavu Brachot, Asura Lebala Kenida. Okay, John, you had a question? John, are you there? Okay. So let's go back to our discussion. Okay, so that's the first opinion. That's the first side. Okay, let's see the second opinion and the second side of the coin, the other way of looking at this situation, looking at this halacha. Okay, so the Mordechai says as follows: V'od mistaber dekala below bracha dasira haynu below chupa. When it says that a kala, a bride, without a beracha is forbidden, it doesn't literally mean without beracha, rather means without chupa, a kala without the chupa. You don't need the brachot. You can't say the brachot, that's okay. What really matters is the chupa. Ela denakad below beracha, lafisha osin beracha v'shat nisuin. Sorry. So it mentions below beracha because we say the bracha at the time of the nisuin. So it doesn't literally mean bracha. It means the nisuin, the chuppah. Why is it called bracha? Because normally that's when you say the bracha. But it doesn't literally mean bracha. And it tries to bring two proofs for this. Number one, the parak hamad tiktubot, amar Rabbi Yehuda, af beta irusim v'arich minota, lefim she'achadin otah kodem k'nisa l'chuppah. So he says that they would say the brachot in Yehuda. That was where Rashi said that, oh, the fact that they're saying the brachot in Yehuda implies that you need the bracha to permit her. So he says, no, they would really, they're really trying to turn it into a chupa. That was their goal over there. And that's why they said the bracha, but the real goal was the chupa. And he says, the chupa is really what matters. The chupa is really what changes it. And then he says another statement, he says, Lo matzinu brachot me'akvot. We never see that a bracha withholds a person from doing a mitzvah. There's no bracha that I can't do the mitzvah if I can't do the bracha, right? Unless the mitzvah is a bracha itself, like Berakot HaTorah, Berakot HaMazon. But normally, the bracha does not withhold a person from fulfilling a mitzvah. And he says the following statement. Does it really make sense? Would you really think such a thing? That let's say a person lives, he says, he makes the following assertion, the Mordechai says. Let's say a person lives in a land where he doesn't have 10 Jews there. I remember I was once taking a class in Italian Jewish history. So what would happen? What happened would be that the non-Jews held that they weren't allowed to take interest from each other, but they needed a financier, they needed a money lender to finance their business, right? So what would they do? They'd bring a Jew in to finance, to be the guy, the money lender. That was his job. He was the money, he was the banker of the town, right? Now, first town needed a banker. So they take this Jew, and they bring him out to the middle of nowhere, right? Some farm town somewhere in the middle of nowhere in Italy, right? So he needed Jewish resources, right? A Jew can't live in isolation. So what would the Jew do? So no, he would bring a shochet with him. He would bring a malamed with him, somebody to teach his children Torah, and maybe one or two other important Jewish functionaries he would bring with him out to the middle of nowhere to live with him and his family, right? He would have a Talmid Chacham that he would support living in his house, who would be there to teach to the family and to serve as a good role model for the family. But l'ma'aseh, he lived in a place where there's no minyan, right? And it could be who's miles, you know, tens or hundreds of miles before you get to another place where there's a minyan of Jews. So says the Mordechai, are you telling me that a person who lives by himself or with a very few Jews, he does not have a minyan where he lives? Are you telling me he can't get married? Really? Because he can't do the Sheva Brachot, you're going to tell me this guy can't get married? So that's argument number one, he says. It doesn't make sense. A bracha never withholds a person from fulfillment of a mitzvah. And especially in this case, the bracha shouldn't withhold a person from fulfilling the mitzvah. It doesn't make sense that a person wouldn't be able to get married if he lives in a place where there's no minyan? Okay. It brings another proof. Odam Riyam Perik Hani Zakid, Maseba Arus Farusa, Shinishbu Leben Ovde Kochavim. So there was a man and a woman who were in the status of Erusin. So as we said, they were forbidden to each other until they have Kupa, until they have the wedding, right? And according to some opinions, until they had the Sheva Bracha, right? So according to Rashi, according to other opinions, until they had the Sheva Bracha. So he says, look at that Gemara. So he says, Vinisiyum Zelazeh. So the captors put them together. So she says to him, please, Bevakasha Mimcha, look at what strength these people had. Al Tigabi, don't touch me. She'ainli Kitubah, because we know that a woman without a Kitubah, a couple is not allowed to be together if the woman does not have a Kitubah. Okay? But it didn't seem like the fact that they weren't able to say Sheva Brachot, they didn't have a minyan, they couldn't say Sheva Brachot, doesn't sound like that was a problem. The problem is she didn't have a ketubah. I guess they didn't have the means to write a ketubah where they were, whatever it is. Right? You couldn't write a ketubah, fine. But the fact that you couldn't say Sheva Brachot, that didn't seem to get in the way of their wedding. Didn't seem to be a problem. Okay? So he says,
What about Yichud?
Well, Yichud, yeah. I think in this case, they were able to have Yichud.
But there was no minyan for Yichud. Anyone
you don't need a minyan for Yichud.
With a guy and a woman go inside an apartment, there's so many people out there looking at the rain inside, that's considered they got married. Like Abraham and Sarah. They were there. They don't have the Sheva Brachot. So what's the catch?
No, but you don't need a minyan for Yichud. That's for sure not. You don't need a minyan for Yichud. You may need Edim for Yichud. You don't need a minyan for Yichud. And even...
Yeah, you have Edim. How many Jews are out there? They see it.
No, you're right. Exactly. It's called like an Umdana. It's called Umdana. Everybody knows, right? It's Milta David. It's like totally Milta David. It's like Gluye. It's Everybody knows. You're right. But again, that would work for Yichud. We don't even need a minyan for Yichud. That's not the issue. You don't need a minyan for Yichud. You may need Edim for Yichud, but you don't need a minyan for Yichud. Okay? So anyways, so the Mordechai argues against Rashi, against the Or Zeruah, and says you don't really need the brachot for the wedding. Obviously, you want to say Sheva Brachot. If you don't have a minyan, you can't say Sheva Brachot. Okay, they're still married. It's not a problem. They're still married. Now, Rav Rimon, this is, by the way, most of my resources for tonight are based on an article from Rav Yosef Tzvi Rimon, who's the Rav in Alon Shavut, right, the community right outside where in Gush Etzion, where Yeshivat Har Etzion is. So he's a very well-known Jewish educator, posek, halacha educator, very well known as a halacha educator in Eretz Yisrael. So he wrote an article on this topic. So most of my research was based on his article. So anyway, so he says that if you think about it, right? Let's say somebody couldn't make a bracha on the matzah. For whatever reason, he couldn't make a bracha on the matzah. Are you going to tell me he's not allowed to eat matzah? He's not allowed to fulfill the mitzvah? According to those who compare matzah to the nisuin and to the arusa, you're going to tell me that such a person can't say, that person can't, is not able to fulfill the mitzvah? No, it doesn't make sense. Of course you can fulfill the mitzvah. So therefore he suggests that maybe even according to Rashi, when we say kalav lo bracha asur lebala kanida means when a person is able to say a bracha, when he has the minyan, when he has the ability to say shavah brachot. So then we say kalav lo bracha asur lebala kanida. But otherwise we do not say kalav lo bracha asur lebala kanida, and therefore it really means below chupa. As long as they have chupa, then everything is okay. Okay, let's continue. Now, the Beit Yosef quotes another machlok in Rishonim along the same lines. The Beit Yosef says, "V'nishal harashba al ir she'ein ba'asara b'nei adam le'berkat nisuin ve'i efshar lehaviyam sham v'okom acher ve'yishiv birkat chatanim eina b'pachot me'asara." So the Rashba is talking about exactly this case where you had no wedding, sorry, you had no minyan, you can't get a minyan together. Does that mean they're not going to get married? Really? So Rashi says, yeah, go somewhere else. Go find somewhere where there's a minyan. You want to get married? Go somewhere else where there's a minyan. But you can't get married over here unless you have a minyan. That's what he says. Berkat chatanim, eina b'pachot ma'asara. You can't say berkat chatanim with less than 10 people. Okay? Now, it sounds like he's saying that you can't get married without it. The Truman Hadashin says, the name of the Truman Maimoni, the following. The ein berachot me'akvot diavad. A bracha does not withhold you the diavad after the fact. The mistabra de kalo blo bracha sur lavala kanida hainu below chupa. As we saw before in the Mordechai, it means below chupa. She doesn't have a chupa, then they're forbidden to each other. But she had a chupa. If they had a chupa, then okay. The naka below bracha, because you do the bracha at the time of the nisuin. Fine. And then he says the same thing, okay? The Shumat HaDeshen says, would you really think that if you don't have 10 people in the Medina, that a woman shouldn't get married because of Berkat Chatanim? Really? She shouldn't get married? Okay. That's the argument of the same argument we saw in the Mordechai, we see in the Shumat HaDeshen. However, the Beit Yosef over here responds. And the Beit Yosef says, Ve'ein devarav nirin. Nah, I don't think he's right. What claim is this? So maybe he's right. Maybe, yeah, you're right. Maybe if you don't have 10 people, you'll get married. Who gave him the right, says the Beit Yosef? Who gave the Truma Tradition the right to make his own decision, to decide on his own? So for him to decide that, oh, it can't be that that they're not allowed to get married. Maybe they're married. Maybe they're really not allowed to get married. If you don't have the brachot, okay. So from this line in the Beit Yosef, it sounds a little bit like the Beit Yosef is of the opinion that really you can't do the wedding unless you have shavah brachot. However, on the other hand, if you look at the Shulchan Aruch and Evan Ha'ezer. So he says, Iris, he did Irusin, the first stage. The Kines Lechupa, they did the second stage. The Lo Berach Berkat Chatanim, he didn't say the Berkat Chatanim. So he says, this is Nisua Gemura. She's completely married. The Choser Umivarech Afilu, let me just take away these extraneous letters. Hareza Nisua Gemura, she's fully married. The Choser Umivarech Afilu Achar Kama Yamim. He goes back, he says the bracha even much later. So he says, if for whatever reason he didn't say the shavah brachot, so he says she's completely married, he could say the brachot later, he has to make sure that he has a ketubah, and they go into the chupa. That's it. Okay? So even though originally in one place the Beit Yosef made it sound like you, if you don't have a minyan, then don't get married. However, here in Eben HaEzer, he says that the marriage is a good marriage. Now, we could argue that he holds the marriage is a good marriage. However, he still holds they're forbidden to each other. It's possible, it's a possibility. When you look at the Sefer Nachalat Shiva, he has a different interpretation. He says, Ulamiu Dati Nireh, the Nireh Pashut, the Gama Beit Yosef Modeh Bikaradin. He thinks the Beit Yosef really agrees that the bracha does not withhold the mitzvah and that they are permitted to each other. They can do full nisuin. Okay? The Beit Yosef just takes issue with the proof that how could it be that a person who lives in a place without a minyan can't get married? So the Beit Yosef takes issue with that proof. He says, no, that's not true. That's not a good proof. Maybe you're right. Maybe actually they really can't get married. Maybe so the fact that you don't like the idea of them not being able to get married doesn't allow them to get married. Maybe they really can't get married. That's what he says. Okay? So he says the Beit Yosef is only arguing on the proof, but he agrees to the principle that you are allowed to get married and they are permitted to each other. And he says that the other proof that the Mordechai brought from the Arusa and the Arusa were taken captive, that the only thing that was missing was the Ketubah, but not the Sheva Brachot. So from that Gemara, the Beit Yosef doesn't respond. So it sounds like the Beit Yosef agrees to that Gemara. He just thinks the other proof is not a good proof. But he thinks, according to the Beit Yosef, they are allowed to get married without Sheva Brachot. You look at the Beit Shmuel. The Beit Shmuel says as follows: the brachot is not me'akev. I used to try to have 10. But if you can't get 10 people together, or it's very, very hard to get 10 people together, so that's considered to be after the fact. You do not have a minyan, and it's okay, and they will be married. So it seems to be the consensus of the poskim is that even if, and most poskim seem to hold like this, that even if you don't have a minyan, the wedding is still a valid wedding. You can't say the shara brachot, but they are still fully married and they can live together as husband and wife. That seems to be the consensus of the poskim. Now, Rav Rimon asks a very interesting question. He says, let's say you don't have a minyan in person, but you have a minyan over Zoom. You have 3 people here, you have 2 people here, you have 5 people here, and in total, you have 10 people who are watching the wedding. You have 10 people who are spectators at this chuppah. Is that enough? Is that enough to qualify for a minyan? Can you now say the Sheva Brachot, maybe? So he says, we have to investigate what's the real reason why we need a minyan for Sheva Brachot, okay? And he gives 3 different suggestions. I'll show you the sources inside for 2 of them, and the third one will speak at outside. The Shita Mikubeset Ketubot says the following: Minyan the Berkat Chatanim ba'asara. How do we know Berkat Chatanim is 10? Shenemar Berkach Boaz asara nashim. Boaz took 10 people. We saw that already. That's how I need a minyan. Perush Stama de Milta Shelo Kinsan Ela the Berkat Chatanim. It makes sense. The reason why he collected them together was for the Berkat Chatanim. For the Sheva Brachot. Deem Yishum Edim or Kinyan, if he did it because he wanted witnesses or for the acquisition, betray Sagi, 2 people is enough, Sagile. Why did he 10? Halo Kinsan El Bracha Bavad. Now, this is where things get really interesting. So now, what's the purpose of the 10? He says, Umipnei Shedavar Shebekidushahu Livarech Et Hashem Kines Asara. He says that it's Varim Shebekidusha. It's like praying with a minyan, saying Kaddish, saying Kiddusha, like saying, like, Kriyat HaTorah. These are all things that have the status of, or at least, let's talk about at least the Kaddish and Kiddusha part. They have the status of Dvarim Shebe Kiddusha. They have a higher level of Dvarim Shebe Kiddusha, and therefore, you need a minyan. Now, if you need a minyan for Sheva Brachot, because Dvarim Shebe Kiddusha, L'chora, you need 10 people there to actually be a presence for the Kiddusha. You need the minyan brings the Shekhinah, it brings the divine presence, and therefore you need an actual minyan. You need 10 people physically present. be observing on Zoom is not sufficient to create a minyan. However, let's look at source number two. The Shuta Geonim says, he has a very interesting question. I would never in 100 years thought to ask this question. And the question is, why don't they say Kaddish at a wedding? So he says, it's a mitzvah. You have a minyan there. So say Kaddish. So he says, E.F. Shalomarkin. No, you can't say that. Why? Shari Hatzibur Einam Ba'im Ela L'Chavod Be'alma. The purpose of the Tzibur is only Kavod Be'alma, is to show honor, is to make it a more honored gathering, to show respect to the Chatan and Kala. Ve'inam Omrim Muma Ve'alma Yikdishu. Shari Eina Kaddish B'loshum Amirah Shal Mitzvah Osho Shavach. You need to have some sort of speaking or statement which qualifies as a mitzvah, like tefillah, right? Then you say kaddish after the tefillah, or shabbat,
or Torah.
That's kaddish al Yisrael. Very good. Or you say tehillim, and there's after tehillim, there's kaddish yeshlama, right?
So well, I go to the wedding, they're always giving a divrei Torah. They're drashot, they're giving divrei Torah. Why we don't say kaddish?
That's a very good question. Okay, you're right. I guess in their times they didn't say any divrei Torah at the wedding. Okay, that's a good question. Good question. I don't know the answer. So anyway, so in the Shurat HaGeonim, so he says they must have been not giving Divrei Torah there, or at least not sufficient Divrei Torah. So he says, the wedding by itself, why are there people there? People are there because it's Davar Shevik Tusha, or it's something that you, that's like a minyan for tefillah, that I would therefore say Kaddish afterwards. They're there, just Kavod Ba'alma, just stomp to show honor, to show respect. So that doesn't require, that's not enough to create enough of a statement to say the Kaddish. And something the Tosfot Rid says, Perush Tchila Mevarech Shakol Varel Echbodo Mishum Debirkat Chatanim Tzricha Asara Kedichtiv Makelot Baruchu Hashem Uvdibirov Am Hadrat Melech. So he says, why do you have 10 people? Berov Am Hadrat Melech. The more people you have, the more glory there is to Hashem. Okay? And he says, V'zu ha'asifa hi akivodo levarcho barabi. Mr. Honor to Hashem. Mishum hachi maschil mevarech shakol bara. That's where you start. What's the first of the Shavu Brachot? He says, shakol bara lechvodo. Everything was created. I mean, after Bar Pei Gefen, but the first of the actual Shavu Brachot is, shakol bara lechvodo. Everything was created for his honor. Shakol bara lechvodo. Everything was created for his honor. So the gathering is when Jews come together, especially for a mitzvah like this, to observe a mitzvah, to be there, to show honor to the Chatan Mikala, to bring honor to Hashem as well. And therefore, they're coming to add to the crowd so that there's a sort of a critical mass of people to bring honor to the name of Hashem. That's why there's a minyan. Okay, so now if that's the reason, so then you can ask the question, right, if it's kavod ba'alma, and if it's Barov Am Hadrat Melech, I would still say, it sounds pretty much, even according to these reasons, you need people present. They have to physically be present. You don't have the glory of Hashem. Hashem's glory is not glorified unless the people were physically there. Just watching, that by itself is not enough. You need to be physically there. The third suggestion is that you need 10 people because of pirsum, because you want to publicize the wedding, you want to publicize the marriage. So for that, then there's a little bit more of a tzad to say the bracha of Hagomel, to say Birkat Hanisuim, say Shara Brachot, just like Birkat Hagomel. Many poskim say you can say Gomel on Zoom because the reason why you need a minyan there is not because of the Varim Shebik Tusha, but rather Pirsum. You want to publicize the great miracle, the great kindness that Hashem did to you. That's what you're saying, the Birkat Hagomel. If you want a lot of people there to publicize it, well, making a lot of people there to make a big deal about it. So for that, the poskim say Zoom is enough. So he says, if the purpose of the Shavu Brachot is to publicize the wedding, so then maybe Zoom would be sufficient and would be enough. Okay? At the end of the day, most poskim hold that it's either Dvarim Shebik Dusha, or it's because of the other reasoning of Kavod, Rov HaJan Melech, and they will not allow one to save the Shavu Brachot if your minyan is only over Zoom. Like, well, I quote Rav Shechter over here, he says, "V'chein mistaber shavilim chogim mesimchat shavu brachot v'akom echad imasara hamishtatim." Let's say I actually have 10 men, I should actually have a minyan where the Shavar Brachot is. Yesh Saba Hanimsar Makom Acher Umishtatef Ayde Zoom. Let's say the grandfather of the Chatan or Kala is somewhere else and he's joining in through Zoom. Can he say a bracha? So Rashi says no. Sheino Rashi Levarech Achat Meha Brachot. He's not allowed to say that one of the Shavar Brachot. He's not physically joined in with the Baalei Simcha. He's not physically there. And all the more so, if you don't actually have a minyan where they are, they're rak mitzarfim et kulam aide Zoom. But rather, you're joining everybody together through Zoom. Afilu naniach she'ein zed davar shebikdusha. Even if you say it's not a davar shebikdusha. You need 10 people who are joining together in the simcha, joining together in the rejoicing, in order to say the Shavar Brachot. So it seems to be the accepted opinion is that you need a physical minyan present. So what do we do for our social distancing wedding? Did we say Shavar Brachot? So the answer is yes, we did say Shavar Brachot. If you only had 5 men there, how do you only say Shavar Brachot? If you only have 5 men, you said we need a minyan. That's clear, right? Almost everybody says you need a minyan for Shavar Brachot. So this is what we did. It worked out that the house was adjacent to the yards of 2 other neighbors. And min hashamayim, one of the neighbors had 3 adult men there. One of the neighbors had 2 adult men there. Sach HaKol, they had 5, and we had 5 at the wedding. And Baruch Hashem, there was a minyan, and we were able to recite the Shavar Brachot. We were able to have a minyan for the Erusin. We were able to recite for the Berkot HaErusin. We were able to have a minyan for the Shavar Brachot. And Baruch Hashem, they were able to say the Shavar Brachot with a minyan. But if at the end of the day they can't put together a minyan for the Shavar Brachot, the Poskim say they should do the wedding. They are married. However, they do it without the Shavar Brachot because they don't have a minyan. Okay, any thoughts, comments, questions,
yes,
concerns?
You know that there was a story about Rav Mordechai Eliyahu, Shalom, before he passed away, there was a case where the young kids were having a play in the school. So what happened was, there was a girl and a guy, a little boy and a little girl, they were playing, this play, and they were doing a fake wedding. You heard about this story, right?
I mean, there are many stories like this, but yeah, I haven't heard about this
specific
one.
So happened when Rav Mordechai would say that they found the last case that they were doing a fake wedding. So then they said, that was a really chuppah they did. And they didn't know what to do. So then actually the little girl gave a get to the little boy for over doing thing. Why? Because he actually gave a groat or worse silver, as it's not worth it, a putot, that you could do kiddushin out of that. So that's why they had this situation that it was a big case for that. And I don't know, I heard it for many years, and I never forget about this thing. And I wanted to ask you another question. Where did Shavar Brachot came from? Who grew up and who came up with Shavar Brachot?
It appears in the Gemara. I don't know where it originally comes from, but it does appear in the Gemara, just like all the Brachot we have, right? The Brachot, most of the Brachot that we have their sources in the Gemara.
Uh-huh.
Does the chasen count as one of the 10?
Yes, the chasen is min haminyan, which is actually interesting that you asked that question, because the mefarshim asked the following question. One of the sources for the minyan, for the Shavar Brachot, is that Boaz gathered 10 men, right? So I think the Prisha or the Drisha on the tour asked, so this is a very funny source, because Boaz himself counted as one of the 10 for the minyan. So why did he gather 10 men? He should have gathered 9 men. Okay, interesting question. So I don't remember what the answer. I don't know if there's a good answer to that question. But they say it's a surprise. It's a smachta ba'alma. It's just really that's not the real source. they're just sort of being somech on that. But at the end of the day, yes, the chatan is min haminyan, and you count him as one of the ten for the brikah chatanim.
Who tell you don't need minyan? Who's opinion to say you don't need minyan to do shabbachot?
And there's one opinion. There's a Noda Behuda who sounds like it, but we don't hold like that Noda Behuda, and it's not. I didn't really go into the Noda Behuda so much, so I don't really know.
Rabbi.
Dr. Brody, you want to unmute yourself?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, Shakara, first of all, nice to see you all, especially Jason, who's not moving over there. If you make a backyard wedding.
Yeah.
So you have to have 10 men from the, and you only allow 10 people, Marshall. You have to have 10 men?
Well, that's the thing. You usually won't, because the college mother wants to be there, the college
right.
sister, right. Exactly. So that's what I was saying. So then you don't have a minyan. You're stuck. So in our case, Baruch Hashem, the two adjacent backyards, the people were able to stay in their backyards, but we were able to put together a minyan with people in the other backyards, and they were able to watch the chuppah, and b'shas atzchak, you can start them for a minyan.
So, but if you don't, what if you don't, mamish don't have those people?
Mamish, so you don't say shabrachos.
Wait, so you don't say the brachos under the chuppah?
You say b'rchas ha'erusin, but you don't say shabrachos. Take a day, it's you. Thank you. You say the b'rchas ha'erusin, but you don't say shabrachos.
So how many of the brachos you make altogether?
And zero. I mean, for the Sheva Brachos, zero. You say the
board. No, I'm talking about not at the end Sheva Brachos. The Sheva Brachos under the chuppah.
Yeah, I'm saying, yeah, that's Sheva Brachos. You make zero of them, zero. I think there's some tzad to say Asher Bar. I don't know. I didn't have a chance to finish Rabbi Ramon's article where he speaks about Asher Bar. So I don't know what he says about Asher Bar, but everything else.
But Rabbi Ramon is a Sephardic posek?
No, he's Ashkenazi.
Ramon?
Yeah, but whatever. But he quotes Sfardi and he's in the Dati Lumi world. All the big posts in the Dati Lumi world are Mizrahi, is both Sfardi and Ashkenazi psak. There's none of the big posts in the Dati Lumi world are only Mizrahi and Ashkenazi psak, from what I've seen.
Uh-huh. So basically, you have to really have 10 men in order to do the regular brachas under the chuppah.
Correct. You do.
Well, they better, Cuomo better come up with something good on Shabbos, the changes, hopefully.
I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what comes up next. But listen.
But if you go to Jersey, Jersey allows more than 10 now, 25.
Yeah, they do. Okay, yeah, again, if you also, you can have, if you do like what I was saying, in the backyards, and then people in the adjacent backyards.
The week? Yeah, but during the week, by the way, I understand you could make Sheva Brachos because it's, let's say my daughter's supposed to get married July 5th, so that starts serious. The 3 weeks start, you know?
Yeah.
I think Wednesday night. So you can still have Sheva Brachos, I understand. Just no music, obviously. What do you want to know?
How many Sheva Brachos you need from the Sheva Yamim?
You do as many as you can. When you have a meal, you have Sheva Brachos, right?
Yeah, but again, but if you don't have a minion, you have to find out. Maybe you only say Ashabara, I don't know. To say all the Sheva Brachos, almost for sure you need a minion. If you just want to say Ashabara, maybe you can do that. I don't know. Maybe you can do that. I didn't have a chance to look into Ashabara yet. But
you can let me know. You have my number, right?
I'll try to read the rest of the article from Rimon. I'll try to send it to you.
Before July 5th, let me know.
I'll try to forward it to you as soon as I can, so you can read it and see what you think.
You have my thing? My
text? Every number, yeah. I'm pretty sure every number.
Let me know before July 5th. Get it?
Blee Nether, Mazel Tov.
Thank you.
B'Shah Tov, Mazel Tov. Yeah, I don't know.
You know my
kids. I don't know where. I met your son once, but I don't know the rest of your kids.
Oh, Joey. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Who is the person with the flags, with the Moshe, Ad Moshe? Who is that listening in?